Morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name's Diane, and I'll be just leading this next part of the service. And I'm going to take my watch off, actually, so I remember what the time is, so I don't get carried away. I'm used to doing two-hour lectures, so I won't subject you to that. Just to say thank you to Barry as well for his reminder to us about our sensitivity to each other as we come as family together. And this morning, I'm concluding... I'm concluding this series that we've been doing on restoration. And it's been great that we've been able to have different people lead this. Alex started us off with restoration of all things 5-6 weeks ago. And then we had George, who did the restoration of mankind. We had John talking about the restoration of church. And then Martha led us in restoration of community. And last week, Lee talked about restoration of the earth. So I hope that you've enjoyed that theme and that topic that we've had. And I'm hoping that I can draw it together now today and think about how we take this forward. Is it on? That's a good question, isn't it? Okay. It's got a little red light. No? Thank you so much. That's the first trick, is to master the technology. So here we are. Anybody been to see Dumbo? Wasn't it great? Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I must admit, I'm not a Marvel film fan, but anybody been to see the latest Marvel films? No? Yay! Yeah. So what do the two have in common, you might ask? Well, you know, all of us just love a happy ending, don't we? I think there is within each of us the desire to both know that there is a hero out there, as Alex was talking about earlier on, people who somehow will make everything all right. And I don't know about you, but maybe many people today are looking for people who can make it all right. Whether we mention the B word, Brexit, and think we just wish somebody would come along and make it all right. Or whether it's looking at gun crime amongst young people today, and we think, who's going to make it all right in our country to make this a safe place to be? And so I believe that's why often we will go to the cinema and watch films like Dumbo, the Marvel movies. Going back a little bit, we've mentioned before in this series things like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and the Narnia series, all of these that just help us to lose ourselves for a couple of hours in a story where eventually everything's all right in the end. And as people of the kingdom, I don't really need to say much more to you this morning, except that it will be all right in the end. And I love that quote from another film favourite of mine, which is The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Anybody watch that one? And there's a lovely quote in the first one where it says, it'll be all right in the end. If it's not all right, it's not yet the end. Okay? So when we look around us, we might feel that there's a lot that is not right. Well, hang on in there, because it's not yet the end, and it will be all right in the end. So where are we going with Palm Sunday? I have to look at my notes, because otherwise I digress, which my students know all about, and then you would be here for 2 hours. So here we are, we have Palm Sunday, and it's so well illustrated earlier on with the children in Alex's talk. This triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and it had some unusual elements about it. The Jews would have been used to many people riding into town triumphally on a horse. Many of the Roman occupation, the soldiers would have come through Jerusalem, and they would have been used to seeing people arriving on horseback. And here, as we know, Jesus came riding on a donkey. So it was quite different. We've got the account recorded in all four Gospels, and you might want to go home this afternoon or later this week and read how similar each of those accounts are, but also how different they are. And there was a great deal of excitement in Jerusalem about the arrival of Jesus. Remember that people had seen what he had been doing, and they had seen him turn water into wine. They had seen him heal the sick and eventually raise people from the dead. This was quite a remarkable person. Here was somebody to raise their hopes. Here was the person who maybe could make everything all right. And so we have the crowd bursting out into an absolute sort of song of praise, if you like. We saw the video clip showing the setting of these crowds of people pressing around Jesus, saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Very interesting that in less than a week, those same words would be put above a cross and the people would say, "He's not our king." And Pilate would say, "Yes, he is. That's what you called him." That sign stays there. But at this point, we're still at the beginning of that journey, and they're excited, and they're proclaiming all that Jesus could be. But of course, what was behind this was there was an expectation that Jesus would be the kind of leader that they wanted him to be. They were rejoicing in the miracles that they had seen. They had rejoiced. Imagine being a tradesperson in the crowd, seeing somebody turn water into wine. Can you imagine in the background somebody running around, collecting as many pots as he could, sidling up to Jesus and saying, "Listen, Jesus, you know, I've got a bit of a deal here. I'll provide the pots and the water, and you just turn it all into wine. 50-50, or if you're Dave Cole, it might be 60-40. Okay, and, you know, we'll have a nice business going here." Or if you were somebody that was leading in the infirmary, and you'd been looking after sick people, and you had no penicillin, you had no drugs available, you had limited resources. "Jesus, look, you know, this is really good intentions. You just come and lead the infirmary with me. Come and lead a hospital. We'll have everybody cured of all their sicknesses in no time." Just imagine your reputation. Imagine how that will influence people. All these people pressing in on Jesus with ideas about who he was and what he was going to do. And yet, we know that Jesus had a different agenda. So I want us to hear now a passage from John that Jeanette's going to come and read to us. Thank you, Jeanette.
Hi, I'm reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 3. Starting at the first verse, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The passage is entitled, "Jesus Teaches Nicodemus." "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him.' In reply, Jesus declared, 'I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old?' Nicodemus asked. 'Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done through God. Amen.
Thank you, Jeanette, for reading that. So here we have in John chapter 3, Jesus' explanation of how we could be born into the kingdom. And Jesus is presenting the upside down kingdom. It is contrary to all the things that people were expecting. It's very interesting to think about Nicodemus, because Nicodemus was somebody who was a leader in the church of his day. He was a Pharisee. He had status and reputation and probably had wealth. So in terms of what the world was looking to gain or to have, probably Nicodemus had it all. And yet interesting that he comes to Jesus at night time, secretly. And there is within the heart of Nicodemus a desire to find out something more. He recognizes that what he has is not enough. He wants to know, how can he enter in to the kingdom of God? And that just says to us that he knew that what he knew already was not sufficient. And Jesus opens up the whole way that we could know what it was to be restored to God and to be part of his kingdom once again. And he takes us right back to the fact that we need a new birth. The birth that we've already had as a baby, unfortunately, brings us into the world bearing sin. And we look at little Penelope, all brand new and innocent, and yet I bet her mum and dad can already tell us that she has a will of her own. She wants to exert that herself and let her own presence be felt in the home. And Jesus said that first birth wasn't sufficient. You need to come to me to be born again. He said some other things about the kingdom as well. And he said that we need to seek it first. It needs to be the one thing that we long after everything else, above everything else, which is what Nicodemus was doing. And also he said that we need to come to it as a little child. We need to be as children if we're going to come to that kingdom. And then a surprising verse in Luke says, the kingdom is within you. This was not going to be an outward kingdom ruling over the country of Israel. This was going to be an internal kingdom. And then the passage in John, you must be born again. When I was preparing for this, I was looking through a newspaper and I was very saddened, isn't a sufficient word really, by some of the news that's in the paper. And of course, every day there are stories that concern us, aren't there? But there's been one story that has really, really struck me this week. And I don't know if other people saw it, but it was about a young couple in their 20s. And he murdered his girlfriend. He stabbed her in a frenzied attack. And the pictures that accompany this are of a young couple. They both had got first-class honours degrees from university. They were both in very good jobs, earning a good salary. They had spent time over the last couple of years travelling around the world. There were photographs of them in all sorts of exotic locations. And yet it all ended when she decided to break up with him, and they were still living together, but one evening he returned and stabbed her to death. And it's a particularly distressing article I found, that there you had a young couple who appeared to have absolutely everything, but everything was not enough. Something else had come in to destroy their relationships. And then we had an article as well, which interested me from a health point of view, which said, gorging into the grave, which was highlighting the fact that in this country, we have so much food that we now are suffering ill health because of our eating habits. Quite shocking to think that that could be the case. And yet the reason is that people are looking to other things other than Jesus to satisfy them. And so many people have access to so much food that we keep hoping that if we just eat different kinds of things or more of something, maybe that will fill the hole that we have inside of us. So Nicodemus, coming in the dead of night, what must I do to find the kingdom? And Jesus unpacking this idea that the kingdom is something quite different to what the people on Palm Sunday were expecting. It was not going to be the triumph of the Jews over the Romans, but it was going to be a kingdom coming within each one of us. And how could we access that kingdom? By becoming like little children again, coming to him and knowing that forgiveness from sins. Colossians 1 is a passage where Paul explores this further. And I'll read it out to you. It says, We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. As we go through Holy Week and we follow that progress as from Jesus' triumphal entry to that final end on the cross, this was what Jesus was doing for us. He was ensuring that each one of us would know what it was to be qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, freeing us from the dominion of darkness and bringing us into the kingdom of the Son, in whom we have redemption of sins. Part of me just wants to shout it out because it's such good news. It is so exciting. It's not new to many of us, but I just hope that this week in Holy Week, it might strike us afresh just what it was that Jesus did. And it says that he was given a chance to turn back. He was given the opportunity to not go through with his plan, but he refused to do that for you and for me. That's all the good news. And in John 10:10, it also tells us that Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and have it to the full." So what has that got to do with a picture, a photograph of my car with a dent in the side of it, which somebody very kindly gave to me one afternoon when I was driving home? I don't know about you, but very often as we go through life, we can all feel a bit dented, a bit bashed about, a bit knocked and scarred. And it's not long after we're born that we begin to get the knocks that life give to us. Sometimes those knocks come because of other people and the way they treat us. Barry talked about being sensitive to each other. And I know that very often I go blundering in and say something in a jokey fashion, which actually causes offence. So we might do it without realising it. Some people go through life having had hurts inflicted upon them purposefully by the people that should be caring for them. Well, that's very hard to take forward into life. Some people that we have in this congregation are going through a time where they're receiving a lot of knocks and hurts and bumps because of ill health. We prayed for Margaret in the prayer time, who, if you've been following on the prayer chain, unfortunately seems to have had one setback after another in her health. And so we don't feel like we are in the kingdom. We don't feel like citizens of the kingdom. We just feel very, very knocked about. I love the comparison that is made with this type of pottery, Japanese pottery, kintsukuri, and I'm sure I've said that wrong, pronounced it wrong, but it is a kind of pottery where the cracks on a piece of porcelain have been repaired either with gold or silver. And I really love that picture, because the final object, after it has been restored, is of greater value than it was at the beginning. I'll just let that thought sort of seep into you. I don't have a piece of Japanese pottery that's been repaired in that way, but I do have a little Beatrix Potter figurine. And if you come up and look at it afterwards, you will quickly see that it's a bit bashed about. One of the tail at the end has been knocked off, and one of the ears has been repaired. So it's not in a pristine condition. if I take it on the Antiques Roadshow, it won't earn me any money. But it is very old, and it was given to me by an elderly lady who became very fond of. She was actually somebody I nursed when I first qualified as a nurse in intensive care. And she went to Bromley Baptist Church, and she'd come in with a heart attack. And for some reason, we connected, and she invited me round for afternoon tea. And it began a friendship, and she became like a sort of grandmother figure in my life. So when I look at this figure, it's not necessarily the figure that I'm looking at, but it's the significance that it has. Philippians tells us, Philippians 1:6 says, that we can be confident that he who began the good work in you is going to bring it to completion in Christ Jesus. So we're all a work in progress, aren't we? God is still working on us, and he's working on some of those knocks and bumps that we've received. But it will not be made perfect until we reach the kingdom. Let me encourage you by this passage from 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read it in the Message. Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Not many influential, not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses, chose those nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus. That's why we have the saying, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. It's not our goodness that will get us into the kingdom. It's only Jesus Christ. I was with a friend of mine last week who is struggling with church, and I suggested that she came to a service, and she said, I'm not ready yet, I'm not good enough. And so often people outside the church have the idea that we need to be good enough before we can come into church. And I believe that part of our message is we need to be saying to people that church, as we know, is the place for the broken, for the people who have got the knocks and the bumps and who are not yet perfect. For my last illustration, I'm going to show you my little Tibetan singing bowl. It's not singing. No, nothing's happening. No sound. If I knock it, you can hear that it's got a lovely, lovely tone to it. But if I exert prolonged pressure on this bowl, it actually gives a different song. And so this bowl reminds me that very often it's not until we're under pressure that we sing our greatest song. And I do believe that when we are before the Lord, it will be those bumps and those knocks, those scars, which will be restored. But Jesus will still have the scars on his hands to show what he did for us. And I do believe that as we go into the kingdom, when we stand before Jesus and we look at each other, we will see what the knocks and the scars have brought about in our lives. There are things that you are going through now that are making you the person that you are. that wouldn't be there if you hadn't gone through them. And when you're under pressure, that song of praise that you are able to give is of infinite worth to God. I believe there's people here that are singing songs of praise in the midst of ill health or declining strength or depression or sadness. And that song of praise is being lifted up to God, and it is of infinite worth. It's like the gold in that bowl that's been repaired that makes it so, so valuable. You were made to sing a new song. You might be feeling a bit knocked about and bumped, but Jesus is restoring each one of us. Let's sing our final song. Thank you, Richard.